It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Good morning, this is Matt Staver, filling in for Sandy Rios. She'll be back in the next few days. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council. We have a special guest that we're going to begin with the beginning of the program, Dr. Judith Reisman, and I've known Dr. Reisman for many years. In fact, she's been a longtime friend, but she also is one of the world's experts on Alfred Kinsey, the whole sexology movement. Where did all of this come from? The issue of abortion, the LGBT agenda, same-sex marriage. What is its origin and what is the end game? Well, Dr. Judith Reisman has spent her life studying this very issue, all the way back to Dr. Alfred Kinsey, the person who ultimately changed not only America, but in fact the entire world with regards to the whole sexology issue and this whole abolition of gender. The whole thing that we're dealing with now with regards to transgenders in the military, if you will, all of this goes back to his books in 1948 and 1953, and she has written extensively on this, so I want to welcome our guest, Dr. Judith Reisman, to the program. Welcome, Dr. Reisman.
Thank you so much, Matt. It's a delight to be back again talking with you on the radio. Yes. Yeah.
Well, you have written extensively, spoken extensively, not just in America, but around the world. You have literally turned some of these nations upside down, changed the course of the nations with regards to the issue of sex education or same-sex marriage and many other things. But take us back with regards to the issue of where this came from. You've written some books. We'll mention those. One of those newer books are... sexual sabotage and also stolen honor, stolen innocence, among many others. But take us back, all the issues that we're dealing with right now, where did it all begin? What was the end game? What was the purpose of where this issue, this whole movement, the sexual revolution movement began?
Well, as you know, because, of course, we've talked and worked together for years, you and I, it began back when the guys came back from World War II. The ladies were trying to, start a new life, and the guys were trying to start a new life, and were not paying attention to what the academic world was doing and had been doing. 1948, Dr. Alfred Kinsey, who was a zoologist, and he was. Presented as your typical academic, married man, two children, or actually four, actually. Legitimate scientist. He was a zoologist. In fact, he was, it turns out, a bi-homosexual, a pedophile, who was using children in sexual experiments for his book, Sexual Behavior in the Human Male and Human Female, the second one. And the academic world at the time, the whole world at the time, regarded science as a savior, and our laws, which were based on the Judeo-Christian belief system, were overturned by Kinsey. He stepped in, he helped to create the model penal code, which you certainly know, a lot about. And that was based upon this notion of fluidity, of children as being sexual from birth.
So let's go back to the sequence here. World War II ends in 1945, right? And Kinsey comes out with his first book, Sexuality and the Human Male, in 1948, just 3 years after World War II. And he drops what's called the K-bomb, or standing for Kinsey, on what some have called the greatest generation. This is the generation coming out of World War II. This is the baby boomer generation that ultimately came out of that. And he issues this book, Sexuality and the Human Male. And in that book, his thesis is that you are sexual beings from birth. From the time that you were born, you are sexual beings. And his general proposition is any restriction, any moral compass that would put any parameters on sexual activity is wrong and harmful, and therefore you need to experiment in all kinds of ways that is beneficial and healthy. He followed that up with Sexuality and the Human Male in 1953. That ultimately impacted Hugh Hefner, who was a virgin when he was in college. His views on sexuality changed, and he launched Playboy in 1954, and to this day calls himself the pamphleteer of Kinsey. So this became the popular version of Kinsey, and Kinsey began to not only affect the academic world, but also began to affect law, so that he had the 1948 book, and the 1953 book, and then in 1954, the American Law Institute, with the Model Penal Code, began to lessen the crimes for sexual assault. Lessen the age for age of consent. So lower the age for age of consent. All because Kinsey was saying that there was no harm to sexual assault, to prostitution, to rape, to having sex with children. There was no harm in that, so the law began to follow Kinsey. So tell us about some of the things that Kinsey did to promote this idea, and even has a table. We can't even talk about some of the things that are in that table, but it's in his 1948 book where he actually demonstrates his perversion.
Oh, absolutely. I was stunned when I read the table 34, but there was table 30, 31, 32, 33, 34. These are all tables that show right there in front of your very eyes the torture of, at minimum, 317, at maximum, well, I won't even say at maximum, 2,035 children who were being sexually abused, raped, some of them not fully raped, just, you know, seriously molested others. 24 hours around the clock, experimented on. It's right there in the book. And he drew from that the belief, and these were children, he using his words, these were children who collapsed. They screamed, they cried, they were hysterical. He goes into detail describing the children's reactions to these abuses. And then from that, he concludes that the children definitely enjoyed the situation because they returned for more, he said.
And so one of the things he did was, Dr. Reisman, he paid people, fathers, grandfathers, others, to sexually molest their own children, and then they would report to him. In fact, to this day, you know, some people that are still living who were the children that became the statistics, and these were children who their parents, grandparents, someone close by was actually molesting, getting paid by Kinsey and reporting the information to Kinsey.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been trying for many years to get an investigation of Kinsey. Why? Because, you know, It's not just that it's all old hat. This was the origin of so much of the tragic experiences we are having now. We're into a third, 3.5 generations of Kinsey-trained people. The whole field of human sexuality grew out of Alfred Kinsey. Before him, the only thing we had was a belief in the moral absolutes of sex as determined by Judeo-Christian belief system. And Kinsey stepped in, and he was the new information. He was the science that told us that really everybody could do all these things, and we would lower our rape rate, we would lower our sexually transmitted diseases rate, we would increase our marital happiness and marriage and so forth. And of course, look at all the data. I mean, it's very clear. In 1948, rape was punished by death in half the states, and the other half pretty much could get life in prison. So, and seduction was against the law. It was a crime in California. It was a felony. So the feminist movement is now trying to get the rape laws put in place again. Something they don't understand. They think, oh, isn't it wonderful? We have some advances lately. Sorry, back in 1948, there were very clear attitudes toward rape, and the judges were making proper decisions. Those judges were not trained by the Kinsey philosophy. The current judges are largely trained through the universities to believe that Dr. Alpha Kinsey's data were correct.
Well, and to kind of underscore the perversion of this man, Pomeroy and some others, some of his associates, they started the sexology training institutes in San Francisco, and most sexology training comes from this Kinsey origin. And one of the things that he required, or they required as part of that institute, is that all of the people in the employment, all engaged in sexual orgies with one another, and they would say that if you didn't, then you were not objective, because if you had a moral opposition to any kind of sexual activity, then you would not be morally objective. He also tried to abolish the very construct of gender, did he not?
Oh, yes. Very famous Kinsey scale. If you go on the internet and you type in Kinsey scale, the Kinsey scale, it's all over the internet. You can see just millions of pictures and articles and so forth about we can judge sexuality from 0 to 6. 0 was heterosexual, coincidentally, and 6 was fully homosexual. And Kinsey identified anything in between, the fluid place in between, where you could be bisexual, you could be pretty much anything. And he laid that down as though it were science. Of course, it was just a drawing. It was what he made up to justify his own sexual proclivity.
So Kinsey then began to, his ideas began to infiltrate law, and the laws began to change. Rape penalties began to lessen. Age of consent began to lower, and these kinds of things percolated into the system until you get to the idea of even where we are today, same-sex marriage, the LGBT agenda, and it's even gone all the way up to the United States Supreme Court. We're coming close to a time for a break, and we want to continue our conversation with Dr. Judith Reisman. She is an international expert. And where this all began with Alfred Kinsey and the whole sexology movement. In fact, this information that comes from Kinsey, some of the false information about 10% of the population being homosexuals, all that came from Kinsey. Well, he didn't do any surveys. He just looked at people that were men incarcerated in prisons. All of that has been debunked, but it's still being perpetrated and even cited in court cases even to this day. Our expert is Dr. Judith Reisman. Our telephone lines, we're going to open those in a few moments when we come back on the next break, but I'll let you know when. It's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, so write that down. I'll open up the phone lines in a few moments. We'll be right back.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
A Moment of Truth with Gary Bryden, Executive Director of the Association of Independent Methodists.
While I was in graduate school, I was called back to assist in a funeral of one of the members in the first church that I had pastored. A sweet, born-again lady, she was loved by her children and grandchildren. On the afternoon of her death, a friend of the family came by and quietly and sincerely said, "I just learned of the wonderful experience your mother had of meeting Jesus face to face." 2 years later, that thought was brought back to my mind as I prepared for my grandfather's funeral. He had just had that same experience, one that he had prepared for 10 years earlier when he trusted Jesus as his Savior. Are you prepared for that day in your life?
The Association of Independent Methodists, like-minded congregations doing together what can't be done separately. Visit AIM2020.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Caitlin Bird. I'm a nursing major and I'm a junior. The School of Nursing here at TMU, it's different than any other, you know, university or college out there. Every time we come into class, no matter which nursing professor it is, we always begin in devotion and prayer, and we become a family. They actually allow the students to get up and do devotion and prayer. We pray with each other and for each other, and that's just what sets us apart from any other school of nursing out there.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Minnesota teachers have been told to stop calling children boys and girls. Instead, they are to refer to students with gender-neutral terms like students and scholars. The guidelines are in a new toolkit for transgender and gender nonconforming kids. The toolkit says words like boy and girl are not inclusive. Schools are also encouraged to let boys who identify as girls use the girls' bathroom, and it instructs teachers to ask kids what their preferred pronouns are. The Minnesota Department of Education says teachers who identify a student with the wrong pronoun could be in violation of the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act. So if the point of using words like student and scholar is to be inclusive, I'd like to know what the gender-inclusive word for stupid is. Because there's a whole mess of it in the state of Minnesota. You can read more on this story at toddstarnes.com.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council, filling in for Sandy today. Our very special guest is Dr. Judith Reisman. Our phone line is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I'm going to go to the phone lines in just a few moments, 888-589-8840. Dr. Reisman, very appropriate, I guess, timely, I should say, that Todd Starnes, during our break, actually talked about the school policy of these different training programs telling these teachers and others that you shouldn't refer to these students with pronouns that they don't want. If they're a boy and they want to be referred to as a girl, you need to refer to them as a girl and so forth. But it's broader than just boy-girl. It's also neither, as you were talking about with regards to Dr. Or Alfred Kinsey. There's this whole spectrum of sexuality, and in fact, it's neither not just male or female, but it can be neither, that you're neither male nor female. It's just absolutely unbelievable what's happening out there. just before we go to the callers, though, I want to throw in something else. You've done some research with regards to the impact of pornography images on the minds of a developing young person. And it is different for them in terms of the impact that it has on other people. So these young people are getting assaulted not only in this idea of no gender or choosing your gender, but they're also getting assaulted in the context of pornography, and it has consequences. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, we know it has consequences. The FBI had conducted some research years ago. The Annals of New York Annals of Science reprinted one of the pieces on post-traumatic stress disorder and various other things. What had happened was a young woman who was a captain in the Army, she was an FBI agent, simply was given an assignment to view some of this material, very disturbing material for her, and she immediately stepped out. She finished, stepped out of the place where she was viewing this stuff and blew her brains out. And we know that the FBI, the child protection agencies who have to expose their people to some of this stimuli, give them, compassion fatigue, breaks. They leave this stuff after 3 months at the most, and they don't have to view them, and they go to therapy. The same things that the children are being exposed to, you get
therapy
for.
And one of the things you found is that when, from a neuroscience standpoint, when these images are viewed by young people, it creates a chemical brain change so that it almost imprints it into their brain.
Yeah, it doesn't even almost. It does imprint. I mean, our little kids are having their brains structurally rechanged, structurally re-altered, structurally altered to fit the stimuli that they're receiving. And they're dealing with the obscenity exemption, which is obscenity, of course, which is against the law, is allowed in the schools for the little kiddies as young as K through 12. There is an obscenity, as you know, we've written on this, obscenity exemption, which allows children to view things that we would not allow adults to view. Justice Scalia had written about that in Fox versus the FCC, and he said, you can't expose children to this sort of thing. It has a detrimental effect. Well, we're doing it every day in the classroom, and we're topping it with penalizing children for not saying cis or the other bizarre words that they have for girls and boys and so on. Yeah,
well,
this
Dr.
is
Reese,
very
we're going to
serious.
Go to the telephone line because one of the Kenny from Oklahoma has a question, and the question for you is, why was Kinsey not put in jail? Kenny, you're on the line from Oklahoma.
Good morning, lady and gentlemen. Thank you for your program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Kenny.
Good morning. Yes, that is my question. Why was Mr. Kinsey allowed to continue this perversion? Why was he not put in jail? And do we know how many of our public schools are teaching this perversion to our children? Thank you.
Well, actually, thank you so much, Kenny, for that question. We didn't know that Kinsey was doing that. People just didn't recognize it. There was no data on the children. No criticism about the children. It was kept quiet. It was under the rug. The attempts to expose it were closed down, as they have been since. It was funded at the time by the Rockefeller Foundation. And today, it's still, covered up. But the kind of thing that the kids are being taught is all over the schools. It's just about every school in the United States of America has this infection, and really from K through 12, and it's got to get to the congressional hearings. It's got to be dealt with immediately. The foundation and the fallout has to be addressed.
Well, Dr. Reisman, to follow up on Kenny's question, although it may not have been as known as to what Kinsey was doing at the time, because he was being pushed by Rockefeller's money to promote it. And they all, by the way, they all had the same agenda. Rockefeller, in terms of funding Kinsey from the media standpoint, you know, remember back then there was no internet, there's no cable television. If you had lots of money, you could control the media. And Rockefeller pushed Kinsey. And Rockefeller and also Kinsey had the same MO, the same end goal. Number one, they wanted to abolish the very concept of God. They hated God. They wanted to abolish Judeo-Christian marriage and morality. And the best way, they thought, to abolish God and marriage would be to blow open, wide open, this whole issue of human sexuality. No parameters on it at all. Promote all kinds of sexuality. That would destroy Judeo-Christian morality. That would destroy marriage. That would also destroy your understanding of who God is, and you being made in the image of God, you become just a thing as opposed to someone who is infused with dignity because you are created in the image of God. But having said that he promoted it and he tried to cover all this up, and there were dissenting voices. If you go back to table 34, which is what you pointed out earlier, all you have to do is read that table, and that was in his book in 1948.
Yep.
Table 34, you have to ask yourself the question, and it's in his book. How did he know that these children were doing these kinds of things within a 24-hour period? Where did he get the information? Anyone who would have done an investigation, any law enforcement who would have asked the question, would have found that this individual was engaged in promoting pedophilia, rape, abuse of children, and he should have been locked up and prosecuted and put away.
A two-month-old baby was being abused similarly. A five-month-old, those were our youngest, in his tables. We can still expose him today. We have to do that. I get emails consistently from people who are still learning in school, in psychology classes, in medical school, and so on, that Kinsey was a noble researcher. He broke the barriers. He told us what we wanted to not. He told us what we wanted to hide about our sexuality. This has got to stop, and people have got to understand how we got to where we are. We didn't get to the point where little babies are being raped, by professors. And that comes out every day. We get reports about people raping children, teachers raping children, every day. We didn't get to hear from just nowhere. It had to start somewhere. And yes, his modus operandi was the destruction of any belief in God. He was anti-God. And he committed himself to that and said so in his book. That was the problem, our beliefs in God. And we are suffering the consequences of that deliberate destruction of our belief system.
Well, our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. If you want to get in on the conversation or ask our guest, Dr. Judith Reisman, a question, 888-589-8840. We're going to go to Texas. You're on the line. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you. This is an important program. The Christians whose lives are grown up, I mean, they're grown up now, but even in their teens and late adolescence, the only possible way to remedy this damage, because those images are burned in a way that nothing else is. And I'm even thinking that some of these counseling books that a lot of well-meaning Christians write on this, I think the only way to deal with the damage in a person's life, the ones who divorce, the whole nine yards, the whole devastation that it wrecks on Christians' lives, the only way that it can be remedied in any degree is with total saturation in God's Word, because His Word is meaning. Our minds are created for His thoughts, and there's no other way to, I mean, my life was wrecked by this stuff. Divorce, a lot of things.
Yeah.
And the only remedy.
Yeah, definitely, the only way is through Jesus, who can forgive and create a whole new creation. The old has passed, the new has come. The problem is
Absolutely.
That these images, as Dr. Reisman has actually demonstrated through neuroscience research and looking at the development of the young brain is different than a fully mature brain, and it doesn't become so until in your late teens, early 20s, where it's fully mature. And it's more sensitive when you see images, those things, whether they pop up on your phone or in your computer, whether it's intentional or accidental, those have consequences. We're going to talk toward the end of the program about a Disney film called Doc McStuffin.
Oh, good.
And it's a way to indoctrinate children. But our phone number is 888-589-8840. We're going to go, Dr. Reisman, to Kathy from Texas. And she has a question for you.
Hi, Kathy.
8840.
Kathy from Texas. You're going to have to turn down your radio, Kathy.
Oh, I thought it was turned down. I apologize.
Okay, go ahead.
Is that any
You're
better?
On the line. Yes.
My question is that if he had a family and four children, speaking of Kinsey in terms, did he exploit his children to any of this? Because if so, they could come forward and lead into investigation slash, get him prosecuted. Or was his children not involved in this stuff that he was doing?
Well, we have every reason, Kathy, to believe that his children were abused, but children don't automatically come forward. And, of course, now he's dead. The Kinsey Institute's alive and well, and it's functioning in Indiana at Indiana University. As a matter of fact, they are now special consultants to the UN on human sexuality, so that they are transmitting this material to those societies that haven't caught on to the right way to believe it, you know, that nobody is really anything sexually. So the children are not available, but we certainly still do have, there's a young woman, not a young woman, there's a woman who still will testify if they can get it, if we can get an investigation soon. You know, she will testify to what was done to her for Kinsey's research by her grandfather. And, you know, people are constantly saying, my gosh, this explains how come my grandfather did X, Y, and Z and thought it was charming, thought it was funny, thought it was harmless, and ruined my life. So, in order for people to begin to understand the need for God's control over their lives, God's cleansing of their lives, we need to explain to them what happened. What was the origin? Why did they get off that trail? Why did our country get off the right trail? And I keep trying to do that. So any help is accepted. There's a website called StopTheKinseyInstitute.org where you can go and sign the petition. We have got to get an investigation so that we can clear the air. Look, Americans were doing the right thing. We weren't perfect, but, you know, we had the right kind of laws in place. We were in the right, going in the right direction after World War II. And yes, the whole idea was to destroy the notion that God was in control, that we needed to follow God's laws in order to make sure that our marriages were good, that we didn't engage in untoward behavior with children and so on and so on.
Dr. Reisman, we're coming up to a break here. Our guest is Dr. Judith Reisman. She's head of the Child Protection Institute. She's a visiting professor at Liberty University School of Law. She's the author of Sexual Sabotage, a book I highly recommend that you get, and also Stolen Honor, Stolen Innocence. Get both of those books. It'll give you a lot of information about this very subject. We'll be right back.
If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. University of Georgia professor Richard Watson has adopted a new stress reduction policy that will allow students to select their own grade if they feel unduly stressed by the grade they earned. All they have to do is email the instructor indicating which grade they would prefer, and it will be changed with no explanation required. All tests will be open book and open notes, and only positive comments are allowed for in-class presentations. These students will be ready to take the world by storm. Right.
Listen to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Central on AFR. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Have you been looking for a way to serve others? Are you able to serve in a ministry without being paid? You and Friendships might be the perfect match. Friendships is currently taking applications for volunteers providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished, both here at home and around the world. Get more information at friendships.org or by calling 337-433-5022.
Is God calling you to pursue theological graduate education? What's keeping you from taking the first step? Is it time? What if you could choose from flexible class options? Is it money? What if competitively priced seminary offered academic scholarships? Do you think you're alone? What if your classmates were just like you, balancing careers and families with seminary? Hello, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Take the first step. Visit wbs.edu.
In America today, religious freedom, national borders, and even traditional gender roles are in peril. With all that's happening in our world, our nation is in desperate need of a return to conservative values. Hello, I'm Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of American Family Association. One of the best ways we can make a difference is with our vote. That's why each year the American Family Association is a sponsor of the Values Voters Summit to help increase cultural engagement. This year's Values Voters Summit will be October 13th through the 15th in Washington, D.C. The growing list of confirmed speakers includes people you hear on AFR like Ed Battagliano and Tawny Perkins, as well as Michelle Bachman, George Barna, Gary Bauer, the Benham Brothers, and more. The Values Voters Summit is sponsored in part by AFA Action. To learn more and to register, you can visit valuesvotersummit.org.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. As President Trump's national security advisor, H.R. McMaster has been highly problematic. For starters, he has been insubordinate to his commander-in-chief. He has exhibited deplorable judgment on policy issue after issue, and he has staffed the National Security Council with individuals who share his views, but not those of Donald Trump, even as he has purged those few staffers who were loyal to the president. In a TV appearance Sunday, McMaster made clear that he cannot work with the president's chief strategist, Steve Bannon, a transparent effort to achieve the termination of one Trump loyalist he can't fire himself. McMaster is forcing Mr. Trump to choose between a subordinate he cannot trust and that his base loathes, and the man to whom he wisely entrusted his then-failing campaign, and who enjoys the confidence of the Trump constituency. Shouldn't be a hard call. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. This is Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council, filling in for Dr. Judith Reisman. Or Dr. Judith Reisman, I should say, is our guest filling in for Sandy Rios. Dr. Reisman, you have been talking about the issue of Alfred Kinsey. We have some callers that were questioning, wanted to question, why was he not put in jail? That was number one that we talked about. We also talked about how the impact of this impacts children. And Pete wants to have a question about Pete from South Carolina. You're on the phone. Lines, you have a suggestion for everyday person and accountability issues. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, good morning, Matt and Dr. Eastman. Wonderful show. This is one of Sandy's 10 best programs right here. This discussion really helps to put a lot of the pieces of the puzzle together for us out here. Yeah, I've heard of Dr. Kinsey, but I didn't know that much about him, so this really helps to bring things together. You know, one of the reasons the government babysitting system, I'm sorry, public school system, is allowed to go on the way it does because it's unaccountability and there's no parental involvement. And they really, my son's 35, I went through this years ago, they reject any kind of parental involvement in the schools. They want to keep people out. And they don't want it, and this is why, because they don't want you to know what's going on. What we need to do is get parents and volunteers to be in classrooms and as listeners and note takers, and just so we have an idea of what's going on actually in the classroom.
And no, I agree an with idea you. And what you, have, I think, Pete, what you find is that people today, parents, grandparents, legal guardians, people in the community, have no clue what's going on in the classroom, and you would never imagine that this kind of teaching is taking place in the classroom itself, and yet it is. Dr. Reisman, go ahead.
Absolutely. No, absolutely, yeah. And one of the big problems, so that's why I keep coming back to a congressional investigation, you know, how do you break through the media control? Well, you do that by at least by having a congressional investigation that would pull in these people and bring them the teachers who are teaching this stuff into courtrooms, you know, into the court. And that brings that into the court of public opinion. Parents simply don't know enough. They believe a lot of this sort of stuff, but my heavens, if they could see the kind of thing the children are being given, and the children, of course, are told not to tell their parents, don't bring it home. In 1974, one of my daughters brought home a pamphlet by Planned Parenthood, and it was called You've Changed the Combination. And in the pamphlet, it says, and this was 74, if you want a virgin to marry, buy one. There are girls who have freely chosen that business. Marriage is the price you'll pay, and you'll get the virgin very temporarily. And this was in 1974. So you can imagine the parents have to be educated along, and the grandparents have to be similarly educated to know that they've been lied to themselves for years. We have 3.5 generations of lies that people have believed. It has got to crack through, you know, sign the petition. I agree with you. Parents should be in the classroom, of course, to see what's going on and to protest. You should be pulling your kids out of the schools. The children shouldn't be in the public schools, but even in private and parochial schools, the same kind of thing is going on. So it's got to go from the top now. It's got to be an education that is received by everybody. And by the way, that my book, Soft Porn, I know, what the one? The
Sexual
one
Sabotage.
Liberty Council published.
Oh, yeah, the one that we published was Stolen Honor, Stolen Innocence. Highly recommended.
Right, yes, Stolen Honor, Stolen Innocence. Liberty Council published that. And please, you know, do read it. Go on the YouTube. Unfortunately, you have to really look at the YouTube. Investigating the YouTube is a wonderful thing. The website, Investigating the YouTube Investigation, yeah. Because so, they've exposed a lot of stuff that's there. I'm sorry.
For the callers that are listening, you know, one of the things that put all the dots together for me was reading Dr. Judith Reisman's material, Stolen Honor, Stolen Innocence, highly recommended, and Sexual Sabotage. It really shows the foundation from which all this comes from, and it gives you a basis to not only see where it's coming from, but where it's going, what its end game is, and then how to combat it. We're going to go to Joy in Alabama. Joy, you're on the line.
Hi, Joy.
Oh, good morning. I think I have heard you speak on this before, Dr. Reisman. I'm not positive it was you. But could you talk about how homosexuality was taken off of the American Association of Psychologists list of deviant behavior. Is that important and relevant to this conversation?
Well, yeah, it's very relevant. In 1973, I'm pretty sure it was 1973, the homosexual movement came in to the conference that was being held by the APA and disrupted it, physically, I mean, engaged in violent behavior, and simply scared all the, the proper doctors who weren't used to being treated that way, and into quiet, acceptance there. The whole effort to legalize or to decriminalize undermine the idea that it was abnormal was based upon Kinsey. They used the Kinsey data. They said, look, it's proven 10 to 37% of us human beings are homosexual at one point or another. That's what Kinsey said in his Kinsey scale. And, most of us engage in this kind of behavior, sodomy and so forth, and therefore it ought to be legal, it ought to be decriminalized, it ought to be destigmatized. And so the result of that ended up being that that was determined by the AP, American Psychiatric Association, to be no longer a problem. We can engage in homosexual activity. And from there, the American Psychological Association followed suit because the American Psychiatric Association had said so. And from there, the American Sociological Association and so on and so on and so on. So it crossed all disciplines and began to enter into all of our schools as appropriate behavior. And there was never any justification for that.
Well, our guest has been Dr. Judith Reisman. Dr. Reisman, sorry for the program coming to an end here. We've got another guest we're going to bring on here in just a minute to talk about Doc McStuffin. And your information leads right into that. Dr. Judith Reisman has been our guest. She's head of the Child Protection Institute. I highly encourage you to read her books, Sexual Sabotage, and the one that we published at Liberty Counsel, which is Stolen Honor, Stolen Innocence. And these are fantastic books that will give all of you the foundation. For me, it put everything together. And Dr. Reisman is available to speak your locations, and not only here in the United States, but even she's been a sought-after speaker around the world. Dr. Reisman, thank you for joining us on Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Thank you, Matt. It's always a pleasure to talk with you and to speak to your audience.
Well, thank you. We'll talk to you some more in the future. Our guest now is Monica Cole. She is with 1 Million Moms, and she is going to talk to us about Doc McStuffin. This is a new pro-gay Disney cartoon for preschoolers. It will make your blood boil, but this is the focus on the children, as Dr. Reisman talked about, how the minds of the young children are so easily influenced, particularly by images, and they don't have to be pornography. It can be the images in Doc McStuffin. And Monica, you're on the line. Tell us about what is going on with this unbelievable Disney pro-gay cartoon.
Yes, Disney Junior is now featuring two moms during the episode Doc McStuffins, which many parents found to be a pretty safe program up until now because of sexual orientation being included in the storyline. And so parents should be forewarned. It first aired August 5th, and they aired it again the next day on August 6th, so last weekend, or the weekend before this past weekend. It's already Monday. And so we shouldn't be surprised, though, because the creator and executive producer, Chris Nee, she is an open lesbian, and she has said in interviews that she will instill subtle messages about sexual orientation in the storyline.
Yeah, so Doc McStuffins now is becoming very targeted. This is one of the programs that the head of Disney says is responsible for the $1.1 billion first quarter of fiscal 2014. This is going back a few years. Chief Executive Bob Iger cited Disney Junior hits like Sophia the First and Doc McStuffins is one of the major reasons the company saw an 11% climb in consumer products revenue to $1.1 billion. So it's very popular. Mm-hmm. It is floating some of the Disney operation. And as you mentioned, Chris Nee is a open same-sex relationship lesbian, wants to use this to put lesbian homosexual ideas into this issue. What should parents do with this? Because it's a very popular program. It's and the age group, by the way. What's the age group that it's targeted to, and what can parents do?
Well, the age group is probably still up for discussion because most say it's for preschoolers, and that would be 2 to 5 year olds. But my niece, who's 8, she loves the show. Like you said, it's extremely popular, and it's not just for girls. I mean, there boys and girls like the show because it has so many different characters on the program. And so it's a huge concern because of the popularity has grown and families have grown to love the characters. But parents should steer clear of this particular program since it's obviously pushing the LGBT agenda and introducing topics that are inappropriate and controversial, especially for children's networks and for preschoolers. So I would think that parents would want to avoid this program because of reruns will be airing, and you're not sure exactly when the reruns will air. But what you could do is also contact Disney through our website at 1millionmoms.com. It's 1millionmoms with an S.com. To reach out to Disney, send them an email, contact them, let them know that this is not okay and that you'll be not only not watching Doc McStuffins, but the Disney Junior and Disney Network altogether because of not wanting this type of content being exposed to your children and not exactly sure when the next issue will arise. Because parents may not always be forewarned and can always avoid it. And so the network altogether needs to be forewarned that they risk losing families as viewers.
So Doc McStuffins, for those who haven't watched it, is a show about aspiring doctor who fixes toys with help from friends. It features a family in this particular one, the episode The Emergency Plan, that was aired first on August the 5th. Featured a family led by two moms in the episode The Emergency Plan. And obviously, lots of people praise this because it was a good program for kids. But then the creator wants to and openly says that she wants to inject the whole lesbian, homosexual idea into the program because she's in a same-sex relationship and says her children have two moms and wants to also put that into the program itself. So she's got an agenda. Give us that website again, Monica, 1 Million Moms. Tell us how they can make their voice heard.
Absolutely. Our listeners can go to 1millionmoms.com. One is spelled out, O-N-E, millionmoms.com, to let your voice be heard.
Well, this is outrageous, people. I mean, this is exactly what Dr. Reisman was talking about. This was the agenda of Dr. Alfred Kinsey. He wanted to just completely obliterate the concept of human sexuality, Judeo-Christian morality, so that you could destroy marriage, human sexuality, and ultimately destroy the very concept and image of God who created this in his image. He wanted to target the young people. Children are sexual beings from birth. Now you've got these nice little Disney programs, and they're now targeting young people. It's outrageous. Monica, one more time, the website they can go to.
They can go to 1millionmoms.com to take action and contact Disney because this is completely unnecessary and they should let their voice be heard.
1millionmoms.com. Make your voice heard today. We'll be back tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.